podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I think, weirdly, I think...
Go on, say it.
We have to play Turner again. From Friday to today, there's been a roller coaster of emotions, and good old Uncle Chris has been going absolutely mad at Turner. And then all of a sudden, he has a whirlwind game against Newcastle, keeps everything out, and I all of a sudden turn on a dime and go, well, we've got to keep him in then, because it's the better the devil you know at this stage. Do you know what I mean? Like, better the devil you know.
Well, you know Hennessy.
Big farce all over. Shout out to Chris Walsh, who just got married this weekend. He is the founder of the Dubai Trickies, and he must be delighted with the Newcastle result, as he originally comes from that area. A massive shout out to Stephen. He's, I think he used to live in Sweden. He was saying fantastic result away from home. And then Martin in California looked a threat all day from the start to finish, defended better, player stuck to the plan. Good man, Martin. Enjoy the California sun. Homer in Ohio, what a big win. Yes, it's a massive win, Homer. Absolutely massive. Jackson out in San Diego said, unfortunately, had to miss the game. Opted for sleep because he had a 4:30 a.m. start time, but wishing he hadn't. Yeah, well, it was an amazing game to watch, I have to tell you. Oklahoma Red, there will be little to no blame game this week. That's very true. And then there was a review that came in from a Forest supporter in the United States saying it's difficult supporting from the United States. This pod brings Forest home for me. And Matt, we are going home, because the Matt and Chris extravaganza continues this weekend when we play Man United. We'll both be at the game. I'll be with my cousin. And you know what? Newcastle are beaten, so why can't we go and beat Man U?
No, I think we can. I think we can. I like the point someone made there about little to no blame game this week. I mean, we could be absolute whiny bastards and blame Malanga for it not being 5-1. But he was my man of the match, so I wouldn't do that. But do you know what I mean? I love Alanga.
Alanga was your man of the match over Wood.
I just love Alanga. I'm a massive Alanga fan. Massive Alanga fan. But yeah, no, Wood deserves... I mean, Wood's going to get all the plaudits. So I'm sort of sniffing around trying to find...
an alternative angle.
Not an alternative angle. Just trying to give a shout out to Anthony Alanga, his endeavour, his levels of commitment to the cause, despite this constant discussion that people are having about his lack of end product, his commitment to the cause, I think, is more admirable for me than Brennan Johnson's. There, I've said it.
Well, okay, shut up, right? We're not going to... There's no point in... It's a stupid comparison. We're comparing someone we love who was amazing for a couple of years to a new player we love. It's irrelevant. Brennan Johnson's a legend. Alanga's a legend. And by the way, a Man United fan messaged me yesterday saying, 4 goals and 4 assists. I think it is. Is it 4 goals, 5 assists? 4 goals, 4 assists he's done in this season so far. He said, you've absolutely had our pants down, because Anthony's done absolutely nothing for them this season. And obviously he was 85 million last year. And I was like, yeah, well, he has done well. But again, it's not just the end product stuff, because there is moments in the game where we create extra chances, like earlier on in the first half, and he didn't square it. There's also moments where he's on the ball 2/3 up the pitch. I've mentioned it a million times before. I just need to see a little more. But he has been brilliant. You gave him man of the match. Chris Wood. Chris Wood. Thank you. Thank you for coming in and scoring a hat-trick at your old club. He didn't even celebrate any of the goals because he was so respectful to a club he'd only been at a year. What an absolute legend. What a way to step up. That's 4 goals in 2 games. I think he has an assist from the Bournemouth game as well. You are a champion of the world today. Please make my life better and score against Man United on Saturday. Brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was brilliant. What do you reckon? What do you reckon? Does he... We've backed ourselves into a bit of a corner as Forest fans with this whole get a new striker, get a new Taiwo replacement. What? How much more does he need to do before we start going, hang on, Taiwo's got a lot of work to do if he's going to reclaim the shirt, because Chris Wood could be onto something here.
Nah, I don't think so. Look, I think the reality is, Matt, Taiwo is still the number one striker. Chris Wood's a very able replacement. Even though in the past, I've said we needed a second and third option other than him. But, look, Taiwo's been injured twice since he's been with us. Chris Wood has been injured, I think, a couple of times since he's been with us. He's getting a bit older. These players are very good backup strikers in the waiting. Taiwo's obviously our main striker, but he obviously gets injured.
How do you feel if you're Chris Wood, though?
Hang on. Let me just... end the point. The point is, we still need another striker. We need that backup. We can't just rely on this because of load management, injury, all of the above. We do need another striker, definitely. We can't be get all...
Okay, so with load management, more backup all in mind, but does Chris Wood still deserve to feel like he's actually got a shout for being our main number nine? Once Taiwo's fit, once Taiwo's back and running.
No.
I guess what I'm saying is up until now, it's very much been as soon as Taiwo's back. Whereas now I'm like, hang on, if you're Chris Wood and if you do keep up what you've been doing and you say get a goal against United, is that our last game before the break? Or have we got one more?
Man United's the last game before the break.
Oh, yeah. Shit. So if he gets a couple of goals on Saturday and then we've got this big January break, there's an argument to say that he should be, at least level pegging with Taiwo, no?
No, I don't think the argument matters because I still think that we're going to buy a striker in January, and I think we have to wait to see when Taiwo comes back. I think if Chris Wood scores...
No, we do need to buy a striker in January. Listen, Chris, listen.
I heard what you said.
No, listen to what I'm saying. We do need to get a striker. I'm asking, should he not be in pole position or equal to pole position
if he gets another... Matt, I heard what you said, but the point is, let's say he scored a hat-trick there yesterday, right? Let's say we were playing Man United on Saturday and Taiwo's suddenly fit. Chris Wood would probably start because off the back of scoring a hat-trick, you have to keep a momentum informed player playing. But eventually what would happen is his stats would drop off and we need... And it's not just about goals, by the way. You know, Taiwo offers a lot more than goals. And so does Chris Wood, by the way, for that matter. But eventually Taiwo would get back in. He is our best striker, right? I know we've had a couple of great games with Chris Wood. I love him to bits. He's been amazing. I'll give him all the plaudits. But no, Taiwo is our number one striker when fit.
Just a couple. It is more than just the last two. It's more than just the last two. But I get your point. Let's move on. I just wanted to reiterate something to you. You were unbelievably negative.
Hang on. Stop, Matt. Matt, I was incredibly negative after the Bournemouth game. I had a bit of a breakdown. We all have coping mechanisms. Will obviously says his mechanism is going at the referee. By the way, referee...
Statsman Will.
By the way, referee in that game was an absolute disgrace. I never want to see the referee back at the City Ground again. And I'm not being hyperbolic. Don't come back from the Bournemouth game, right?
Is it true that ref is a Leicester fan?
I don't know if it's true. There's loads of rumours going around about the ref being a Derby fan or Leicester fan. Things are changing on Wikipedia. None of that matters. He made a big mistake. I don't care if he's a Nottingham Forest fan and he made that mistake. It's a disgraceful mistake. I don't want to talk about it too much because that's a game previous to the last one. It's been chewed over. But it's an absolute disgrace and I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to see him ref a game for us for the rest of the season. I've no interest because it's the worst decision I've seen in years.
You were tearing Nuno down for his team selection against Newcastle and Matt Turner.
You just stop for a second because I never blamed the manager, right? You're trying to make an exaggerated point to get me annoyed and it's worked, but it's not true. You're actually taking words out of my mouth. I was disappointed with the Bournemouth result because the players once again let the manager down. I thought the manager, Nuno, did a really good job, just like Cooper had done a good job previous weeks. And I thought that Nuno had done a great job in that game, and I mentioned it a million times, and I said the players just keep letting him down, switching off in the important moments, right? Come Newcastle game, I thought, what are we doing here? I thought some of the decisions were really good, like Callum Hudson-Odoi coming back in, I thought was a great decision. Sangare coming back in, back fit, was a great decision. And I was concerned about Montiel because Williams had run a good few games, but maybe it was fitness and low management. And I was obviously concerned about Turner. And Turner had a really good game. I want to give him credit that he deserves. He had a brilliant game. He played really well. He made a couple of really good point-blank saves that could have gone anywhere. But Matt Turner is still not our number one goalkeeper, in my opinion. He's not good enough to be our number one goalkeeper.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Right?
Everyone knows that.
A good number two, and that's it. Now, the negativity that you talk to me about, right, you say, oh, you're very negative before the game. Like I said, coping mechanisms. Statsman Wills is the referee. Yours is to be really positive before a game and then absolutely shit yourself as the game starts and start to panic. Mine was under Cooper. Oh, everything's going to be fine. It's okay. We're overachieving anyway. And prior to that, before Cooper, it was, it's all ruined. And now I kind of came back to the it's all ruined thing after the Bournemouth game because I just went into panic mode. Never, ever did I blame the manager. It's too early to tell about anyone at all. So my opinion was, right, let's see what happens. After 20 minutes in the game, I panicked. I'm not going to lie to you. I panicked. I went, their passing combinations are brilliant. We're getting overrun on the right-hand side. Trippier and Almiron are in acres of space. Miley's cutting through the defence like butter. And Turner's in goals. And I'm worried. They scored a penalty, which was very soft, by the way. But I was concerned. I was like, oh, here we go again. And I was worried that we weren't going to get any form of new manager bounce. So that's what I was negative about. You want me to explain it? That's fine. I was never negative about the manager. I was a bit concerned about some of his selections.
You can try and pull the wool over. Listen,
you're absolutely full of... No, seriously, Matt. I don't know why we're arguing. We've just beaten Newcastle away and you still want to argue. Just listen to me.
No, I just want to check in with you because you're so cocksure. You're so cocksure about everything. And you were like, no matter how much we talk... This is on the back of a chat in the group about us. About it's not you not being happy with the team selection and being so furious about Turner in goal. We're going to lose the net first three games and we'll end up in the effing relegation zone. Inevitable stuff.
I'll admit that. I was 100% sure that we would... I thought the Bournemouth game, we'd have a chance. I actually predicted a win on the last podcast for the Bournemouth game. So the Bournemouth game, I thought we'd have a chance of winning that. And then Newcastle and Man United, I genuinely thought we would lose. Yeah, that's true. I did. I actually thought we'd lose Newcastle because... Do you know why? Because I look at logic, unlike you. Newcastle have conceded one goal in 7 home games. They've won all of them and scored 16 in those 7 home games. No one goes to Newcastle and gets a result. No one goes to Newcastle and scores 1, let alone 2, 3 goals. We did. It was a miracle what we did. And that's why I want to congratulate not only the manager for getting the players riled up, but I want to congratulate the players for what they did. Because that is, let's not take away that this is an absolutely incredible result. It's possibly the biggest... Well, I know we beat Liverpool and Arsenal, but maybe it's one of the biggest results we've had since being in the Premier League. It's unbelievable. Did I think we'd lose the game? Yes. Did I think we'd lose against Man United on Saturday? Initially, I did. Yeah, I thought those were the two games we'd lose. But there's nothing wrong with that. It was nothing to do with the manager. It was nothing to do with a new manager coming in. You're trying to use the most basic narrative that everyone's using. It was to do with logic and what had happened previously with the team we were playing against and then our form of only winning 1-14. That simple. Has my mind changed against about the Man United game this weekend? We'll see later in the score prediction. Okay?
Okay. So let's talk about Man United. It's coming up in the next few days. You're coming over to the UK, over to Nottingham. I'm picking you up from Birmingham Airport. And we're going to go and see...
Or am I getting the lift from you? Or what's a crack?
Let's not talk about that on here. Yes, you can. Yeah, yeah. But the point is, you're coming over for the game.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know.
And you did know. I've replied to you the other day.
You didn't reply. You said maybe. You kept going,
I mean, do you want to do this now? Do you want to do this now?
No.
Do you want to do this now?
No.
Do you want to do this now?
No.
I can get the WhatsApp up now and I'll make you read it.
Stop getting the WhatsApps up. Next.
So Man United, this coming few days, you're flying over. It's going to be a good laugh.
Yep.
I know that you hate Man United. We all know that you hate Man United more than many people. You're nervous. You're expecting us to lose to them. Share with us your deepest and darkest fears about what's coming up. Take us back to the core of why you hate Man United so much and why it would mean the world to you for Forest to get at least a draw, if not a win, against them this Saturday. Personally, on a personal level.
On a personal level, the first two clubs that I supported as a youngster were Aston Villa for a year and then Manchester United for a year, because obviously I was living in Ireland, I didn't know any different, and there was a lot of Irish players playing for both those clubs at the time. And I genuinely got to a point where I think Man United were playing and I was allegedly supporting them as like a young kid, and they were playing Juventus and I wanted them to lose as I was supporting them, which is the weirdest thing ever. And I realised I don't really like them. I was just supporting them because everyone else was. Anyway, I end up supporting Nottingham Forest. The first season I support them, we get relegated. I stick with them. And obviously the rest is history. I go to a game. Van Hooydonk scores. Slides in front of the Trent end. And lo and behold, all those years of pain that I had were mirrored with all my friends who are Man United fans and their pleasure and their trophies and their Ferguson and their Beckham and their screw you, Chris, you loser. And I just have dealt with it for years and years and years. And we've lost 5 times to this team already this year. We've played them 5 times in the space of like one calendar year since late December last year. And I've got to say, each time it's horrible losing to them. I think that the most recent loss wasn't as horrible, but it's been horrible. I really dislike them. I might dislike them more than Derby. I might. And nothing would give me more joy than to even take a point off them, because it takes something away from them on Saturday. That's how much I dislike them.
With the current form that they're in, do you think they'll be pleased with a point at the City Ground this weekend?
No. No, I don't.
And I don't mean form on the pitch. I mean the sort of general Man United in disarray narrative that's been circling for, 18 months or whatever. Do you not think they'll be pleased with the point, though?
No, I don't think so, because in reality, we're a relegation struggling side. They're a top 6 side. And
got you. So this narrative about United being in such a shambles at the minute is contextualised by the fact that their expectations are that they're challenging Man City for the top spot.
Well, with the money that they've spent and the personnel that they have in and literally the form that they were on last season, I think they finished third last year, won a domestic trophy. They should be challenging Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, all above that. That's the top 3-4 spot. Yeah, they should be, and they should be going for a trophy, and they shouldn't have finished where they finished in the Champions League. They're having a bad season for them, but for playing us at the weekend, they'll be expected to win. They went away to Sheffield United and scraped to win. They went away to Burnley and scraped to win. They went to Everton and won emphatically 3-0. So they are actually going away to the grounds that are relegation sort of battling, and they're winning those games away from home, so they'll expect to do the same this weekend, yes.
Which was the Man United home game earlier in the past 12 months? I can't remember if it was the home tie in the Premier League or the home tie in that quarter or semi-final, whatever it was, where Rashford scored in the opening 3 minutes.
That would have been the League Cup, I think, home game.
Are you sure? It might have been Premier League.
No,
you know.
I think it was League Cup. I mean, Rashford scored against us in the first Premier League game against them away from home. Then at the City Ground. No, I think it was the League Cup, Matt. You mean when he went down the left-hand wing and just...
Well, whichever game that was, I was sat about 3 rows from the front just behind the dugouts.
And League Cup.
Ahead of all the other football I've ever seen live in my life, watching them play was, as someone who really doesn't ever play football or know it, watch an awful lot of Nottingham Forest and have done for many years. But that was the first time, and that's more so than when I watched Man City live against Forest, more so than when I've watched some of the others. Watching the way they played against us was like something I've never seen before. And it's intimidating and it's scary and it's like a whole... to be fair, Alanga was playing for them. I remember him coming on, actually, and I remember him warming up. So he was part of that sort of playing squad, obviously. But what I'm saying is there's just an air, there's something in the air with Manchester United, isn't there? They've got that. Marcus Rashford basically looked dangerous against Aston Villa the other day when they got their comeback. And I was just like, God damn it, he's so annoying. I was imagining that was Turner in goal and not Martinez. Rashford comes in fast and gets some stinging shots on, and I cannot see Turner or Oddi stopping them.
Yeah, it's not just Rashford, is it? It's Garnacho, it's Hojlund, it's Bruno Fernandes.
True. But I'm talking about the standout. Like it's Bruno Fernandes. What's his name? Eriksen. And Christian Eriksen, Bruno Fernandes, even Dalot, who they think is shit sometimes. Just their players are...
Dalot's the king, by the way. He's a very good player. Very underrated.
Yeah, he was brilliant at the City Ground. He got a goal, I think. And and I say Marcus Rashford and the other four players. Antony's terrifying, even though he's not having a great season.
Antony's not that terrifying, but okay.
I think Aina could handle him, actually.
I'll be honest, Antony just handles himself. He seems to trip over the ball at every second turn now. Obviously, he'll go and score against us this weekend now that I've said that. I think the reality is they're spending big money on really talented players. And when you end up doing that, eventually one or two or three of them are going to click. To be fair, Garnacho and Rashford are through their academy, and they've both been very good for them. Rashford a little bit off form. The reality is they just have the quality. So in those moments that I always talk about, like against Bournemouth, when Solanke had the quality to just rip us apart.
Well, he didn't. He had the quality to do amazing headers. He had the quality to do amazing headers.
Sorry, what?
Well, I don't think Solanke ripped us apart the other week. It was he got his best headers off from his whole career, according to the Bournemouth fans.
Yeah, but he scored a hat trick. What are you talking about? He didn't rip us apart. What sort of level of did Chris Wood not rip Newcastle apart yesterday?
You're talking about it like he did, like what Chris Wood did against Newcastle, like you said, or like Murillo does when he goes through teams of players.
He did.
He'd tear us apart. He got in the end of some beautiful crosses and headers.
But that's what... Matt, he didn't just get in the end of it. He spun two brilliant headers. Now, I think Turner could have done better on both of them, but he still sprung two brilliant headers. Well, I don't know. We're not going to argue about what Solanke did to Nottingham Forest. Let's get back to Man United, okay? Let's talk about some of their players and why we think they're so dangerous. Their defence is a bit of a shambles, so we can get at that. But our defence has been a bit of a shambles in recent weeks too. So here's what it could be. It could end up being just a shootout, a ping pong game. Goal, 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 goal. Who scores more goals? I hope, because that'll give us our best chance if we're just going back and forth like that. Or if we stay 0-0 to the last 10 minutes. They have the quality. That's the issue. And I think they'll be galvanised by the Villa game. They were down 2-0. They ended up coming back and winning that game. They'll be very galvanised. Their tails will be up. But Can I say one thing? What do Man United this season prefer to be most of the time, Matt? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
What do they prefer to be most of the time this season?
I don't know. In bed?
Okay. Underdogs. They prefer to be the underdogs. That's why at the Villa game, they were galvanised to get back in the end. Against Brentford late in the game, they were 1-0 down. They scored two. Against us, they were 2-0 down. They started to get that underdog mentality. Came back, thought, oh, what a fantastic comeback. It wasn't really a marvellous comeback. Warrow sending off, wasn't a sending off. The penalty was soft. Long story short, Man United like being the underdogs. So the one advantage we have is them coming to the City Ground being a little bit overconfident. We've just beat Villa. We should go away to Forest now and get a result. That's the way they'll be thinking. So my hope is that they take that mentality in and overlook us like Newcastle probably did yesterday, you know?
Well, yeah, but I think now we've done the Newcastle result and now they've been through the Villa stuff, the dynamic shifted a bit. It would have been handy if they'd blitzed Villa. And if for whatever reason we'd scraped a 1-0 against Newcastle and Newcastle had two red cards or something, we want them to be arrogant coming to us, don't we? Because like them, like you just said, they do well as underdogs, so do Forest. Maybe so do all footballers do, unless you're Man City, basically, or Arsenal.
The reality is we're going to be the underdogs and I think we're still going to feel that. Now, Forest players aren't going to go into this game lax thinking, oh, this Man United team's in bad form, we're going to tear them down. That's just not going to happen. We will be going to the game slightly more confident in our ability, which is great, after the 3-1 win. And then we'll also be going in thinking, right, these guys are really dangerous. They just beat Villa on Wednesday.
Nuno's going to be particularly driven, isn't he? He's going to be particularly driven. He was really, really pissed off with that refereeing decision. He's really buzzing that he's gotten this.
The one on the Bournemouth game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm really happy for him with that Newcastle result. He was so it's really hard for him, isn't it, to form this bond that he's got to forge with the Forest fans. Because have you noticed he keeps really, like, really politely and respectfully mentioning Steve Cooper in his post-match interviews and his whatevers. And I don't think that he's not being authentic, but I'm trying to empathise. In his position, he's got to be free to go now and free to have an honest opinion about it and free to call out what wasn't working before. And he's, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, and look, Statsman Will reiterated this to me in a WhatsApp group the other day. He said, Chris, we've got to move on from Steve Cooper. We've got to focus on what's here and now. And the thing is, Nuno hasn't had much time and he hasn't...
My darling wife's just bought me a bacon sandwich and handed it to me.
Very good, very good. Well, don't eat it on air because it'll annoy me. So leave it there. But thank you to your darling wife. Now, you're not married, are you? Your partner. But anyway, it's all the same. Listen. I was just like, is he married? Did he go to Vegas?
Back on track.
I think we have to move on with the new Nuno era. And obviously, we've all backed him since he's come in because we want him to do well. I think.
Yeah,
after the Bournemouth game, I've said we had a bit of a breakdown, but that's not his fault. He actually managed the game really well, made some good reactive subs. And I'll be honest with you, I thought in the Newcastle game, just to chew over this a little bit more, I thought he was absolutely brilliant yesterday. He held off his subs at the right time. He made decisions wisely throughout. Montiel and Sangare were on yellow cards for a lot of the game. I was really concerned about that, but they seemed to keep their discipline. And when they went in at halftime, he might have had a chat with them. I think we've done really, really, really well keeping compact yesterday in the second half. I thought the first half we were a bit all over the place, if I'm honest with you. But the second half, I thought Nuno was brilliant. And that's, you know, Nuno's had to come in a really tough time after a really loved manager has gone, like you said. And he's got three really tough games, which I thought we'd lose two out of the three. And I thought the Bournemouth game was going to be the one we won. But now we've beaten Newcastle away. And that's a huge result for us because the players will be thinking they can beat anyone. If you can go to St. James's Park this year and get a win like that, they'll be thinking they can go anywhere. Now, it just depends on how we line up against Man United and what he sees fit, because there are a few players that could come back in. How do you think he's going to line up?
Well, that's good, because I was just thinking we need to get on to talking about what players we think are going to work. How do I think Nuno's going to do it, mate? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. What we can talk about is the players we think it would be interesting to discuss a few of our players versus some of the likely Man United forward players, etc, etc. But Aina is screaming out as a starter for me against Man United, whether it's Rashford or Antony on the right. You're going to have Garnacho on the left. I think you put Aina over Toffolo in front of those, sadly, because Toff's just becoming probably our future captain. Or him and Gibbs-White, obviously, the two potential candidates. But Toff's up there. But I think for this, Aina feels Like, if when he's at his best, he's one of our best players. Ola Aina.
Yeah, I think so. I think he had a good game against Newcastle. I think you got to roll him in again as well. And he's had enough rest from the previous two games. Yeah, he's got to play. The question is, do you put Williams back in there on the right-hand side? Montiel actually had a decent game. Like, he had a really good game.
Yeah.
I thought he was really assured. So what do you think? Are you, if you're eating, we're not doing
okay,
this.
Okay, I won't eat.
Don't eat that sandwich.
I won't eat.
We're nearly off, mate. Don't eat that sandwich.
Carry on. Serge Aurier over Montiel.
No. I think Montiel has earned his place again. Or Williams, I would say. I think Williams came on and did a really good job as well. And he obviously had a run of...
He's going to keep doing that with Williams. He's going to bring him on if we're not losing and we can put on more forward sort of... He's more a winger under Nuno, I reckon. He's going to become that winger that everyone's discussed he possibly could become.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's still going to be playing that right back position. It just depends whether we play five across the back or the four, but it looks like he set out a stall with that. I think with the back four. I think he's going to play Montiel again.
So Aina, Montiel, and then who? What, two in the middle? Niakate and Bolly? No, Murillo.
Well, I think it's just going to be the same, isn't it? Murillo and Niakate. And they both had decent games yesterday. I mean, by the way, Murillo's ball for Chris Wood. Talk about vision... and practice ground routines.
I'm just glad because that's normally the sort of thing that happens to us.
100%.
I love seeing us do that to someone else. That sort of shit happens to us all the time, and it's just
all
great to see it.
The time, and we're looking for the flag, and it's not there, and they score, and we put our heads in our hands. But do you know what was great about that goal is Murillo stepped forward, played a ball over the top. Wood, so experienced at it, made an amazing bending run so that he kept himself onside. And it was really perfected and timed well. Still had a lot to do. Scored the goal. After the goal, Murillo smiled and looked over to the bench as if to say, we practiced that. We did that. That's been done in training. Now, he didn't say that, but like, do you know what I mean? They've been practicing that regularly. That's obviously a repetition to get Wood in behind, get in behind Dan Byrne, who they knew his legs were tired. He had a shocker, by the way, yesterday. Wood did him for that second goal as well. It was unbelievable. But it was actually a really smart play. I think that was from the training ground, and that's down to our manager in such a short space of time. You know.
Do you think the manager asked Wood about, like, things have moved on at Newcastle since Wood was there, obviously, and I'm sure the same for Man United with Elanga. But will they be asking these players about maybe not the manager's tactics as such, but how other opposition, like Elanga, will know exactly what Rashford looks out for in an opposite team. Wood will know exactly about Byrne. Do you know what I mean? Will they help Nuno and go, look, let me do Byrne for pace. I know him really well, trust me.
Yeah, 100%.
In a little bit more of a Kiwi accent.
Okay, right. I was saying on another podcast there the other day, I was saying, we need to come out to Newcastle, forget about draws, forget about anything. We need to go at them because they're tired. They played a lot of games. And I think Nuno did exactly that. He probably would have spoke to Wood about their line. Wood would have said, listen, we can get in behind them. You know, Byrne and Botman can be sluggish when they're exhausted. And that's exactly what happened. And every single time we were trying to fire over that line. I think Match of the Day were saying the same thing. They were saying we were going for that run every single time. A bit of good analysis from BBC for a change on us. But yeah, it was brilliant. I thought Wood probably was chatting to Nuno beforehand. Obviously, he's given some secrets away. Obviously.
Sorry. You
better not be eating. You better not be eating.
I am. Keep going.
No, don't eat near the microphone. Forget keep going.
I'm not.
Right. I'm just going to, while you're eating, I'm going to name my team starting off, okay? For the Man United game this weekend, okay? So.
Go for it.
Gosh, actually, I thought it's really hard because, like, we played against Bournemouth and we had moments. But basically, I think we still need to start Callum Hudson-Odoi. Sangare's out now and he's gone. He's gone away to the AFCON as well. So he'll be gone for a while. So the real question is, who comes in the middle? Is it Mangala? Was he injured or was he in the squad? I can't remember. Like, do we play Mangala ahead of Sangare, Matt? Well, I mean, obviously Sangare's out, but do we play Mangala while Sangare's gone?
Yeah, you bring Mangala back in for Man United.
But no, but the question is, was he just resting or was he injured? Because didn't he go off in the Bournemouth game?
Yeah, because it was just Yates against Bournemouth at one point. He subbed Mangala off. So the first person to come off was Origi when we needed to put Niakate on for Bolly's red card. A bit after that, he took Mangala off and left Yates up on his own for the second half in the midfield doing everything so he could stick on another...
Right, but against Newcastle, was Mangala on the bench? Yes, he was. Okay, I've seen it. Grant. So Mangala comes back in for Sangare, right? Do you play Danilo again? He looked a bit off the pace first half.
In that first half, I was with my dad and I was going, this Danilo, he screws it up. I've heard other people on other podcasts saying good things about here. He should be played further up the park. Now, I don't know why, but that's instinctively what I was saying to my dad. I was like, shouldn't he? He's so much better as like Morgan Gibbs-White's number two, isn't he? Or am I completely misunderstanding that position?
I think you might be completely misunderstanding that position, but I think you might be kind of right at the moment. I don't really know, because the answer is I don't know where Danilo fits in right now, but he played in the two in midfield yesterday and he seemed a bit off the pace, I think. But maybe he's just a bit rusty.
Yeah. Well, his passing was consistently wayward in very dangerous positions. Like, it wasn't a couple of mistakes, mate. I was like, oh my God. And that was when I still believed we were going to lose to Newcastle. I was just hoping that we could hold out till half time. And I'm just getting, Danilo, like, I want to like you. I want you to be our star player. I genuinely love him that much. But I don't know. He doesn't seem to be able to pass to a Forest player.
No, he was getting, listen, he was getting swarmed. Newcastle, obviously, they came out with loads of energy and wanted to kill the game off early and then relaxed throughout the rest of the game because they're so tired and it didn't work out for them. And that's what they were doing. They were swarming Danilo. But I think, I'll be honest with you, I think...
Why? Why would they pinpoint him, though?
They didn't just pinpoint him. He's just one of the players in the midfield that they were swarming, whereas Sangare was handling it quite well. I mean, he's big, robust, he's strong. He's obviously a very talented player. We've just not seen the best of him yet. That's probably why. I'll be honest, in terms of team selection, I think the answer is really simple. You've no Sangare, you've no Danilo in that pocket two. You still play the formation that Nuno wants to play, the 4-2-3-1, and you basically go Montiel or Williams right back. I'd be happier with either. Niakate and Murillo in the middle. I think keep Bolly out, even though he's welcome to come back. Keep him off the start and then bring him on at the end for someone in the air. Aina in left back again. And then the two midfielders, do you know who you bring in?
Well, Mangala.
Mangala for the Sangare position and Dominguez for the other right-hand middle position. He is a good player. He has done well with us. He dropped off the last few weeks, but he is a good player. His fitness is back. Let's get him back in. And then you do Hudson-Odoi, Gibbs-White, Alanga and Wood again.
I think he saves him for after January. I think he's... No, save Dominguez for the bench and then after January. I think it's got to be Mangala and then either Yates or Danilo.
I think Yates is a really good player to bring on and break up the play and stuff. I think that's what, like, win free kicks.
I think Dominguez struggles when we go down. He's a head, even though he might not want his head to drop, his attitude might be good. He struggles when we concede, Dominguez does. He likes, do you know what I mean? Look at me. Trust me, I've had tea with him this morning and we've discussed this in great detail and great length.
I don't know. I think it's too early to tell with him as well. By the way, I never mentioned the goalkeeper. I think Matt Turner's our number two. He's not a number one, but I think we have to play him against Man United on Saturday. That's what I'm saying. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, mate. It's exciting. Okay. What do you think the scores are going to... Oh, wait, I wanted to ask you a question, Ryan. What do you think the deal is with Joe Worrell?
Do you know what? I don't know, but...
Like... Did he get enough?
Sorry, you asked a question and then you don't let me answer it. You go, what is the deal with Joe Worrell? And then I go, oh yeah, and then you go, and jump over me. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I just wanted to re-establish the question. What do you, he got brought on for a couple of minutes? Because otherwise I'm being as broad as you are with your questions.
Shut up.
It's a nightmare. So generic.
happy Christmas, Chris. Go ahead.
Yeah, happy Christmas.
No, I'm not, I'm joking. I'm saying you're giving me a happy Christmas by slagging me off. Let's move on.
I want to know how he sort of came on, and I don't know. Do you think he'd have felt that it was wrapped up in all this? Does he need to prove something? Did he need to? Was it a sympathy sub? Was it go have your last game for Nottingham Forest while we're winning? What do you reckon was going on there?
Well, first of all, I want to say fair play to you, Matt, because what a unique and alternative line of questioning you gave me there, as opposed to my generic nonsense that you talk about. Brilliant, Matt. Brilliant. What do I think he was feeling? I think Joe Worrell was just feeling, it's the first time I've played since late October. I'm glad to be back in the side. I think it's the first time he's played since late October. And I think he's just delighted to get back and play with the shirt. Joe Worrell loves Nottingham Forest. He loves the club. So to get on and play at the end in a game and close out a win. And by the way, I know he was only on for a few minutes, but he was brilliant at the end. There was a couple of really big clearances he made. That's Joe Worrell all over. He'll die for the shirt. And I think it was great to see him back in, if I'm honest with you. I do. What do I think he's thinking?
We should start a sister podcast.
Huh?
Sister podcast. Joe Worrell all over. That'd be nice.
You've done that reference about everything.
Just keep going. Just keep going. You have to comment on my shit jokes.
Okay.
It's just a shit throw in.
I don't know. I think he's waiting for the January break, because for all we know, he could be off. Do you know what I mean? We don't know, but he was thrown back in at the end, which was really nice. And if, I don't know if it's his last game, but there is rumours that he's going out in January. I actually hope he stays. I think that we need the more bodies, the more bodies we have, the better, based on what happened last season with injuries. And I love Joe Worrall. But if it is, imagine that's his last game, a 3-1 win at St. James's Park. It'd be pretty unbelievable, right?
Yeah, but even Nuno came out and said, we have to get rid of some players. This squad is too big. He said that on Amazon Prime Live.
Okay. He said that live. You don't need to say, on Amazon Prime. Like, what are you doing? Are we promoting them? Do we get money from them? Like, what? Yeah.
No, I'm trying to say the point is he's gone out of the club. I quite respected that. He goes, everybody knows we need to get rid of some players. Our squad's way too big.
Yeah, and
you're there going, oh, we need as many as we can. It's like yeah.
No, but hang on. That's where you're getting all my words mixed up, or you're not getting my words mixed up, but you're not really understanding me. You're confused.
I'm quoting you directly.
Yeah, yeah, and what I'm saying to you is I don't agree that we need to snip the squad. Well, we do need to cut the squad down. Right, there's certain players that need to get cut considerably, but the way in which people are approaching that answer that he's giving in that interview is, oh, so we need to cut the squad out completely, let's get rid of all these players, let's clear them out. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying there's certain players who aren't playing anyway that we probably need to get rid of, but we still need to bring players in and we still need to have backups in every position, otherwise it's going to be a shitstorm like it was last year when we went from January to March with all sorts of injuries. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But just give me four that you'd let go of, and don't say any of the keepers because we know that Hennessy and Horvath can be gone. Give me four off the bat that are going.
You want to give me four off the bat that we can get rid
off
of?
Off the bat.
Okay.
Go.
Off the bat. Tavares, back loan.
Gone.
Can go back. Santos, two. Goodbye.
McKenna.
Gosh, do I say Origi? Maybe Origi. Maybe. I don't know. I still have faith in him to do something for us. But if we bring in another forward, may as well get him gone.
What about getting rid of Danilo, mate? Imagine getting rid of Danilo.
No, obviously not. That would be a stupid idea.
It would be stupid.
Maybe loan out Omobamadeli, young centre-back, not getting his chance. Give him half a season of the Championship, bring him back in the summer, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to play a quick game with you because I know we're running low on time, but I did want to play a quick game with you. The blame game can't be played today, right? But I had a new game that I wanted to play. It's called the Drag Them Into the Mud game. And I want to talk about the teams that we can drag into the relegation fight.
Not got quite the same ring, but go on.
Sorry?
Not got quite the same ring, but go on.
Okay. Well, do you want to name it?
No, I want to play it.
Didn't think so. So, it's called the Drag Them Into the Mud game. Obviously, Burnley and Sheffield United seem stranded at sea. Sheffield United particularly pathetic performance from them at the end of the game yesterday. Two own goals conceded to Luton, who we needed to lose. Luton have got some fight in them, right? They're galvanised. They're 15 points. They've got a game in hand.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
What's the game?
The game is, let's talk about the teams that we can drag into the mud, who you think will get dragged into the relegation battle, and the reasons why over the course of the next 8 to 10 games. Who are those teams, Matt? Okay, so I'll name them and you tell me whether you think they can or they can't, and then I'll give their fixtures. Ready? Crystal Palace.
Nope, they're not the ones for me. I'm saying.
What do you mean, no? They sit 1 point above us and they play Chelsea today. They play Brentford after that and then it's Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? Why can't they get dragged in?
Yeah, but then you've got the rest of the season.
Yeah, but you could say that about any team. My point is.
Look, you've asked me a question, I've said no. Did you want me to say yes to Crystal Palace?
Well, of course I wanted you to say yes because they haven't won a game in, I don't know, 6 matches.
I think Brentford. Brentford and Fulham.
Right, okay, so let's go. Stick to one. Let's go with Brentford. Brentford. They play. Their game in hand is against Man City away. That's not going to be easy. They play Wolves at home today, so they could get a result there that brings them back up the table. But then they've Palace away, so that's two drag-in teams that we want. And then they play us on the 20th of January. So if we beat them, I think we could maybe drag them in. But I think they'll be okay, if I'm honest with you. I think Palace have more of a chance of getting dragged in than them.
I think we should call this the drag race to the bottom.
Okay, the drag race to the bottom. So do you know what I mean? Who do you think is more likely, Palace or Brentford, to get dragged in?
I honestly think Brentford. Brentford or Fulham.
Fulham. Let's move to Fulham. Great segue,
Fulham,
Matt.
Could really capitulate.
Well done. Fulham, 31st December. So they play, they lost to Burnley. They lost to Bournemouth. Jeez, their last three games. Newcastle 3-0, Burnley 2-0, Bournemouth 3-0. Yet they beat us 5-0 and West Ham 5-0. They're all over the place then. But they play Arsenal on New Year's Eve. And then after that, they come back to Chelsea away. So, look, they could get dragged in potentially. I mean, they have their little 5-point cushion on us. Or actually, 4-point cushion on us. Do you think they could get dragged in?
Who? Fulham?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Reasons?
I think that the reasons are to do with how I've observed the way they've got a fluctuating narrative, haven't they? There is the Mitrovic is gone. Silva wants to go Saudi. Silva falling out the players. They can't sell out the stadium. Then they beat us 5-0. They beat West Ham 5-0. But then they lose. Willian's now injured. He's also ill. They're very heavily dependent on him being fit. Jimenez. They're heavily dependent on him being fit. They only started scoring that game against us. Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't actually feel like a really... I don't know. I'm just saying watch. It's instinctive, Chris, like many things. And
I'll be honest with you. I'm going to cut you off there. Absolutely brilliant analysis. Some of the things you brought up, I wouldn't have even thought of. I'm very impressed. Good job.
They just strike me as someone who could eat... I think that they could walk themselves...
They'll pull them.
Yeah, sleepwalk. I think they could just keep slipping.
Sleepwalk themselves into the battle. I love that. Okay, and last one, Wolves. Do you think Wolves could get dragged in? They've got a good fixture list the next three games.
No, I think Gary O'Neill. I think Gary O'Neill's too good.
Yeah, I agree. I think we start and stop it there. I think he's too good. I think he's been unlucky in some of the games too with some bad refereeing decisions like we saw against Bournemouth on Saturday. Everton, I am worried about because...
Yeah, I think they're just having a bit of a purple patch. They're having a bit of a 10-point deduction bounce. But I think that they could, run into bother still.
Well, they lost to Spurs the other day. But my biggest fear with Everton is... They play Man City today or tomorrow, but I don't know if they'll win that or lose or draw, whatever, but they should lose because City are still really good. I think the real issue with Everton is they're appealing their deduction, Matt. So I don't think the 10 points will get poked back on, but I wonder will they get 2 or 4 points? Do you know what I mean? That's the worry.
Yeah, well, listen, this is good fun, but it's outstayed its welcome now. It's 7 minutes on the drag race to the bottom. We'll chisel that down to being a quicker... function, but it's a good idea. It's good fun. Takes the pressure off us.
Okay, brilliant. Right, well, thanks for ending the game for me. Look, let's do the score prediction. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I think Forest are going to win, mate. I think it's going to be a famous 3-2 at the City Ground for once in our favour.
Wow. If that happened, I think it'd be...
I think what all that matters is Forest have to... We're going to concede first. We cannot let our heads drop. And I don't think we will. I think it might be one of Nuno's main things. That's a big difference after that penalty the other day against Newcastle. Their heads didn't drop at all. And I have to say, Alanga's going to be chomping at the bit. And he's got it in him. He's got goals in him. I don't mind his mistakes because he's so positive and committed. I love him.
Well, is he going to score against his whole club?
I think we want him to, but I don't think he will. I think we're going to see a Gibbs-White goal finally. I think we're going to see a Chris Wood goal. And I think we're going to see... what did I say?
Half the time you don't know what you're saying. Just give me three names. It's really simple. 3-2. Who's going to score? Yeah, hurry up.
Two from Wood and one from one from Morgan's White. 3-2. I think Rashford's getting a goal because he never scores. And then he comes to Forest, he'll get a goal. And then someone like Hoyland will get his second. Hoyland will get a goal.
Okay, so we agree on some things. I do think Hoyland's going to score. I mean, if we won this game, emotionally, I think I'd break down. Probably it's been my whole life. We've never beaten Man United since I've supported Forest. And now we've suddenly played 6 games in a year. And if this was the one, it would be absolutely incredible. If ever someone's going to give me a touch of luck, do it for me, please. It's pathetic, but I need it. I don't think we're going to win. I don't want to be negative. I'll predict a draw, but I do think that we will struggle. I think Man United have the quality in those big moments. We can't lose 5 games at home in a row, can we? Maybe we can. I hope we don't.
God, Fernandes is going to get a ridiculous worldie in injury time.
Irrespective of their poor form, even on poor form, they're still scraping wins against Brentford and Sheffield United and Luton and Everton. They're still, and that wasn't even a scrape, the Everton one. They won that heavily. I just think we have to be realistic about this. We've gone and got a brilliant result at St. James's Park. Hopefully we set out the stall to at least try and get a point and maybe go for the win as well. But I think a draw would be a great result. I'll predict a 2-2 draw. My heart says 2-2. My head says Man United win 2-0. 2-1, actually, because their defence is terrible. So there you go. Heart 2-2, head 2-1. Hopefully neither of those are right and we end up winning. If we have a goal scorer, Callum Hudson-Odoi will get a goal. And as for Man United, Hoyland will score and Garnacho or Bruno.
See you next week. I'll see you at the game.
You're seeing me on Saturday, mate. You see me on Friday. Yeah. I'm going to the game with you.
Picking you up. Hopefully we'll get out of the nav. And
actually, by the way, if anyone's around, come and say hi to us. You'll see us. We're the two Tweedledum and Tweedledee Egypts standing with a...
I'm sure they'll be queuing up at the door, Chris.
No one wants to see us. We'll be at the Trent nav probably. Will we for a beer?
I'm getting off this now. This is too cringe for me. I'll see you later.
Come over to us and say hi. No, because we had some great people that said hi at Lou. Anyway, follow us at Forrest All Over on Instagram. Follow us at NFC All Over on Twitter. Alternatively, you can go to forestallover.com or forestalltheworld.com. And we will be there for the Matt and Chris extravaganza v Man United on Saturday. Bye, Matt.
Catch you later, mate. Go on. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.